Welcome back to Disney Dependent. I'm Sarah Chilcott.
And I'm Soft Snack Macmillan. Woo!
What? I mean, well, I get the reference, but wow.
You guys ready?
Just like ASMR.
James is eating pretzels and I'm eating two string cheeses as fast as I can.
I think it's like cacti. It's two string cheese. Cheese-eye. I think that's how you say it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or strings cheese.
Strings cheese.
No. Nope.
The string owns the cheese.
I will leave this podcast if you ever suggest something so silly.
Hey, you
ever
know what's
again.
What's a dumb goddamn band name? The String Cheese Incident. Fucking hippies, man.
Is that an actual band?
Yeah, they're a hippie jam band. Like
that's
Fish.
Not surprising.
Yeah,
I bet they play at my work.
Oh, they 100%, Sarah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying 100%. I know that. They played the Crystal Ballroom so many times. And I'm almost positive they played the Grand Lodge.
Yeah, a lot of Grateful Dead at my place.
Oh yeah.
But that makes sense since that's kind of what the whole company is based around. But
right.
I got to go to something really cool the other day.
Did you?
Speaking of music. So one of our regular customers, he used to play in his band at the tavern where I work.
Yeah.
And they haven't really brought back live music since COVID. Because COVID sucked and ruined everything.
Also, but that's a very small place for loud music, no?
It is, yeah.
By the way, I subconsciously said loud music, not live music.
Yeah.
It's a small place for loud music. It's really funny.
But his band is called Jawbone Flats. You should totally check them out. It's cute. They don't have, like, they're not on Spotify or anything. So if you see Jawbone Flats on Spotify, it's not them. But
can I take a guess, a Facebook page. One of them plays a non-normal instrument, right? There's a banjo or
a
mandolin.
Probably.
You know, I should know that because I just saw them play, but I don't pay attention to anything like that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It was cool. We got invited to his birthday party, which we didn't know was his birthday party, but they took over a closed down. You remember the Skyline Tavern? It's
yes,
as the name implies, on Skyline.
Oh yeah, it's
here
been
in,
closed
like
for a while.
West Portland.
Mm-hmm.
That place closed down years ago, and the guy that owns it is friends with all these other guys. And so they opened up the building, even though it's like not an operational restaurant anymore.
Oh, cool.
And it was really cool. It was like probably, I don't know, 50 or so people. And they played and we got there really late because we're terrible with time. And so we got there like just at the tail end. But it was so fun. It's like hillbilly music.
Yeah.
Which is some of my favorite music.
Oh, it's also really fun live.
Yes.
That kind of music.
I found them.
Rich hillbillies.
Oh, Ashley found them.
So they are alt country, hippie billy, country, funk, rock, roots, Bakersfield bluegrass is what
descriptions were. All that meant.
But yes, there is a mandolin.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I thought so, but I wasn't sure.
There definitely is.
A couple of those people are regulars at my tavern, but mostly
nice.
Chris. He's the long-haired guy in the picture.
It's the kind of thing you might see at Pickathon.
In boring Oregon.
Yep.
Hey, guys, I'm not wearing a Flying House Thread shirt for the first time in months.
It's because you're going to work in your work attire.
Exactly.
As is appropriate.
I am wearing what I always wear, which is a free t-shirt. From somewhere in the music industry. This is a free t-shirt from a band. They're called Rose Colored World. Check them out. They're great. Ashley's over here wearing what was once our t-shirt company called Dynamite Goat Trading Co.
The Chickapin Hill t-shirt.
That's one of my favorite shirts.
It's too bad we couldn't make that thing work, huh?
It's just too much to do, man.
Hey, if you're listening out there and you want to run the company, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Have at it. We won't sue.
Have at it.
You could have it.
You can have it.
It's all yours.
Yeah, man.
We'll even help you come up with ideas.
No, I meant they can run it, but we still get 100% of
the profits. Oh, yeah. That's gotcha. Not what I was saying.
Okay. No, I was saying take it. Run. Get out of here with it.
Get out of here. Boring, Oregon is an unincorporated community in Clackamas County, Oregon. It is located along Oregon Route 212 in the foothills of the Cascade Mountain Range. It's approximately 12 miles southeast of downtown Portland.
Holy
and 14
shit.
Miles northeast of Oregon City. Woo! Population.
Is that close?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's near.
It is weird.
I picture Boring being like an 8-hour drive from here.
Well, because that's how Oregon is. The Portland metro area, that's always the joke. I tell people that are, you know, not from there, down here in LA, that like in any direction, 30 minutes in any direction outside of Portland, it's good old boy country like that.
Uh-huh.
It's the country, ranches, trees, forest.
You drop your G's on words. Yep. You say hunting.
Fishing.
Shooting.
Shooting. Yep. That's it.
Swimming in the creek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was picking berries all day.
Oh, I'll pick some berries.
Yep. Working on that fence. I've been fencing all afternoon.
Fencing?
What? You're 30 minutes from Portland. Why do you have an accent? Yep. It's the redneck accent. It's a real thing.
No, it totally is.
It really is. It's wild.
I'm sure we've said this before, but there was a time where James learned that I grew up going to...
rodeos.
Well, yeah, rodeos, but like tractor pulls, and he thought I was joking.
Oregon hillbilly.
He thought I was joking for the longest time, and then I think it was like a Christmas or some event with my family.
Yeah,
I was like, "Will you guys just tell James that we grew up going to rodeos and monster truck rallies and tractor pulls?" And they're like, "Well, yeah, of course, didn't you?" And James is like,
"No,
no,
I grew up going to the mall." Skateboarding on concrete.
Well, we did that too.
I know, but like, we especially also, in California, Sarah and I just walked around on concrete. That's what we did.
Always. Yeah, there was nothing alive that our feet touched.
No, the beach.
I was familiar with the 4-H club, is all I'm going to say.
See, that pisses me off.
That's less surprising to me, though, than the fact that you were a cheerleader at any point.
Oh, man. The best. Can you imagine her as a cheerleader now?
I was also a brownie for about 1 week.
Not surprising. Aww. That both that you did it and that it didn't last.
Yep, got the outfit, got to one meeting, and I was like, I'm not doing any
of this.
That
is not for me.
I don't think this I made it to brownie. It was whatever was before that, a daisy
or a campfire girl. That's what it was.
Okay,
for me,
mine was Girl Scouts affiliated for sure.
Okay,
but I don't think I ever made it to brownie.
I made it to first class in the Boy Scouts of America.
You also made it to first class on a flight that you took.
Wow. What a dumb joke.
And what karate belt did you make it to?
Karate, who knows, because it didn't matter. You know what I mean? I was seven.
And you went, yeah.
It was actually Taekwondo. Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry.
Even
you called it
more.
Your karate suit. So
yeah, right. I did. There's even more of a useless martial art. Karate is the art of kicking and like strikes. So kind of kicking, punching, right? Mm-hmm. Taekwondo is the martial art of just kicking.
Here's no arms allowed.
We can't talk too much shit about Taekwondo because we have a faithful listener who is a Taekwondo like 9-time black belt.
Who went they'll fuck
to
you
the
up.
Olympics.
Dude. Oh, yeah, that's no joke. The Taekwondo Olympics at first are very goofy and funny because they're just kicking.
Right.
It's almost like the Irish dance where their arms are down on their side. They're not allowed to use their arms, so it's very silly.
Honestly, never seen it at all.
It's very silly. And it's like if they whisper of a touch with the foot, it's a point.
So okay.
It's wild. And it's, you know, it's very like broken up that way. It's not a fight per se.
Right.
But the more you watch, you're like, oh, yeah, but these guys can fucking kick my head off.
Oh, yeah. If they wanted to.
Oh, if they wanted to.
They could use it for, like, UFC, which is probably where those guys started out a lot
That's
of the time.
Right.
It's funny. Today's topic will be heavily featuring karate. So.
Ooh, oh, look at that.
This fits.
Well, jiu-jitsu forever. That's what I say. As a blue belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, don't fuck around or I'll choke you out. Okay? Now, do I like snuggling with other guys in my PJs?
Yeah, maybe you do.
Maybe, well, actually, I don't anymore because I quit. I did what every blue belt does. You get your blue belt and you quit.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's like very much a thing.
And he promised that he wouldn't.
Past blue belt is like a ton more effort.
Blue belt, it's like you're now a member of the jiu-jitsu community. You've learned some jiu-jitsu. You can kind of fuck up the average person on the street, but that's it. Mm-hmm. And then anything past blue belt, you're probably going to start competing. You get hurt a lot. And you also have to be like straight up an athlete to even keep up. And this is not an athlete, as you can tell.
Aren't an athlete?
Nope.
Do you guys remember, you know that game Scattergories?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what it was.
I don't even remember the rules of the game, but I do remember the game.
So it was like you get a letter and then there's a whole list of things that you have to fill in. I think we may have talked about this at some point on the podcast to say it again because it's so funny.
I just looked it up. I'm looking at
the letter was S. Mm-hmm. And on the list of things that you had to fill in, one of the words was athlete. And Emily, our sister, put in Sarah.
Unbelievable. At what age was this?
Oh, it was like adult. She was
Why would she put that?
28.
Was it when you were going to the gym a lot?
Oh.
She was mocking the hell out of me.
Oh.
I was going to say, no offense, Sarah, but huh?
I've never been an athlete of anything in my entire life. Nothing.
You didn't play any sports, right?
I have never played a sport. I just didn't.
Like growing up, you never played anything, did you?
No.
Well, I just now...
Tennis. I did tennis very briefly.
Very
briefly. And that's it.
Yeah. Wow.
I did gymnastics for a while and then realized I don't bend like that. And
I mean, I didn't do a lot either. I played golf right around the same time you did tennis.
You guys are such wasps.
In the desert. Well,
it was the desert.
It's like the movie Slums of Beverly Hills. Uh-huh. That's how Sarah and I grew up.
Yeah,
I know. We were wealthy adjacent. Mm-hmm. Our own family was not wealthy at all in any stretch of the imagination.
But you rat-holed your way into some nice neighborhoods.
That's right.
We had access to wealth.
Our grandparents
were were pretty well off, or at least they came across that way to us. They lived in a gated community tennis club.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually a fancy place. It was just a gated community.
It was just gated.
So many places down there are.
Right. To us, it was, billionaire status.
Mecca. Loved that place.
So we did that, and then I played baseball. And that's all. So it's not like I'm some athlete, you know? So I don't feel so bad, sir.
Unless you consider
drumming.
But Lauren is more like me. She's very uncoordinated.
Yeah,
she's
really
my girl,
is.
You know?
Yeah. It happens.
She got all of the bad from me. And I'm sorry, Lauren. I love you so much.
Well, hey, before we do our little, you know, thing we do and then the break... Got some news for everyone.
Oh, this is big news.
This is big news.
This is huge.
Ready? I finally found a pair of Disneyland sweatpants. Woo!
Didn't know this was a thing.
Yeah.
Was this a hunt that's been ongoing?
Mm-hmm. Did I share it with anyone? Nope.
Well, he shared it with me.
Shared with her. So to the audience, means nothing. To you, means nothing.
But it's been a saga.
But it's been a real internal thing for me.
And you're talking about sweatpants that you bought at Disneyland?
That's right. Sweatpants I can use as PJs.
Yes.
Fat guy pants. And
you just call them fat pants.
They're absurd.
Yeah.
They are black sweatpants, okay? Have you seen the Disney Eats line? You haven't been to Disneyland. Okay. So it says Disney Eats, and Eats is spelled out. It almost looks like The Simpsons. It's like a donut, a churro, a pretzel, whatever else the other things are. And then on the legs, it's just all the snacks. It's like
popcorn, a soda,
a Dole Whip, a burger,
a waffle,
the Mickey pretzel,
turkey leg.
It's absurd. I mean, it's an absurd pair of pants. And now I have them. And
why
it took
would
effort.
You want anything less than absurd?
Yeah, I mean, not only did it take effort, and it was expensive. It cost 50 American dollars. I paid 50 American dollars for it, then got home, realized, no, on the tram, getting back to the parking lot, I realized the goddamn cast member didn't take off the security thing, and you can't take it off yourself. It says, if you try to tamper this, it'll explode ink all over you.
Right.
So I'm like, great. And I go up, because now we're at the parking lot. We're so far away from
anything. And it's like
anything.
Almost midnight.
Yeah, we're, yeah. You know, you're done. At the end of a Disney day, you're done. You're not going back that way. No one goes back no. that way. And so I go up to a security guard just as a Hail Mary. I'm like, hey, ding dong, forgot to take off the thing. Do you guys have a way to do that here? And he's like, no, sorry. You really did. It's, you know, you have to go to one of the shops. They're the only ones that have it. And I was like, is there any way I can do this on my own at home? He's like, definitely don't. It will definitely explode ink all over you. I go, great. So long story short, 2 days later, I drove back to Anaheim because I was going to a show that night, to be fair. And I went to the Disneyland Hotel, parked there, walked into the gift shop at the hotel, and they helped me out. And it was great, but it was a lot of effort for a pair of silly sweatpants.
Yeah. I would have probably figured out some way of wrapping that thing in a bag.
Yeah, I almost did.
But then it's like 50 American dollars.
You want your sweatpants to be good.
And they don't, you don't want them to look stolen.
You don't.
I think that's new though, them putting any kind of security on anything. Because it used to be like, you could walk
clearly
into
didn't
any
work.
Store on Main Street, grab something and walk out. And they don't even try to stop you. I'm not saying this from personal experience.
Right.
I would never steal from Disneyland. I want that on the record. I would steal from plenty of other places.
Yeah, but not Disney.
No, but never. Yeah. I would never steal from Disneyland. No way. I would have so much guilt about it. I would not be able to enjoy the item.
You follow the rules of Disneyland. That's our thing.
But yeah, they used to just, you could walk in, grab a backpack, put it on, fill it with stuff, walk out onto Main Street, and they would watch you do it. It was like,
well, like Ashley just said, it's the irony is it didn't work.
Like, you're not going through a detector.
Nothing
of any
beeped
kind.
At me. I made it home with them. I guess the idea is like, well, you can't do anything with them because it's going to explode ink all over you. But
then you didn't need a park ticket to get back and get it dealt with.
No, I didn't. That's true.
So
but I did need
receipt. What if you just stolen it out of one of the stores and taken it to the Disney Hotel?
But I did need a receipt.
Oh, okay.
Kind of. Actually, now that I think about it, I just gave her the receipt. I don't think she even asked for it. So, well, I hear something.
I hear something.
Off in the distance.
Thank God.
This
just in, it's miserable in Disneyland. It is 52 and cloudy, and the wind is coming from the side, which I guess it always is, but it's like blowing stuff everywhere.
It's 60 degrees and partly cloudy, but partly cloudy in Long Beach means mostly sunny.
Yeah. No, it's just straight up cloudy here. Josh Tomorrow's said this morning, it's dark.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it is.
Those are the days in the Northwest that really bummed me out. It's the darkness. That's
However,
really
the last week or so has been so beautiful that it's almost nice to have a day where I don't feel any pressure to go out and enjoy outside.
Yeah.
I'm like, today's an inside day.
Right.
100%.
Right. Yeah, here the pressure is less, for sure.
All right, it is time for another tangentially related true crime story on Disney Dependent.
Woo, woo, woo!
Love it.
What in the hell does it have to do with Disney? Not a whole lot, but something at some point.
It's like our show.
Yep. trigger warning up top. This episode contains discussion of violence and child abuse. So if you're not up for that, maybe don't. But we're not really going to talk about much.
But yeah, it's worth mentioning.
It just happens.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. This is a story about a character named Jeffrey Paul Doucette. Not much is known about Jeff, as he was called by those who knew him, other than he was born in Port Arthur, Texas, in 1959. He was one of seven children born to a service station owner.
Whoa.
Oh, and a sister of his died from a rattlesnake bite. So, you know, Texas shit.
What?
You're going to lose some children to rattlesnake bites.
You're going to lose
children. That's why you have to have seven.
It's exactly right.
That's right.
We do know that Jeff was raised on the wrong side of the tracks.
Cool.
Not cool. You're not going to like it.
No, okay, not cool.
At some point, he moved to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where he became a children's karate instructor.
Baton Rouge.
Really?
Jeff taught Korean-style karate featuring high kicks, fighting swords, and nunchaku sticks.
Cool.
Sounds rad, huh?
Uh-huh.
By early 1983, Jeff was 24 years old and living inside the karate school where he coached. He was beloved by his pupils, especially when he took them to the movies or skating. He was a strong male role model, a lean ex-Marine who got the boys into shape with daily regimens of 100 push-ups, 300 sit-ups, and 5-mile runs.
That's like me.
Daily.
A strong male role model, a lean ex-Marine, and I do 100 push-ups and 300 sit-ups and 5-mile runs daily.
That's how you're an athlete.
Mm-hmm. I do twice that a day, so...
Whatever.
Step up your game, buddy.
I do it every day, though.
To a little boy named Jody Plochet and his brother Mikey, who came from a quote-unquote broken family, Doucette became something of an authoritative father-like figure. He was also well-liked by both of their parents, June and Gary Plochet, the latter of whom once invited him to a family dinner. As time went on, Jeff began spending more and more time with Jody and the Plochets. And he enjoyed spending time with the boys just as much as they enjoyed spending time with him.
Are these all French names because of Baton Rouge?
Yeah.
You got Doucette, Plochet.
Plochet.
How would you say it in a Frenchy, silly way?
Plochet.
So virtually the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Say Baton Rouge.
So nothing changed. Cool.
Give me a Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge.
Wow. That's good. Say something in French for me. Give me like a just anything that comes to mind.
Fou le camp.
Does that mean I'm a fool?
Nope.
Tu es le chien qui vole.
Oh, that's that song.
No, it's You're the Dog Who Flies.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not that song.
According to June, her son quit football and basketball to spend as much time at Jeff's dojo as possible.
Fuck yeah.
After Jody won a trophy at the Fort Worth Pro-Am, a major national karate meet, his mother was elated. She said, quote, "You wouldn't believe what this has done for my children, especially the youngest, who is a slow learner. His balance was unbelievably off. He couldn't throw a punch without falling down, and his coordination was not very good." Sounds like Sarah.
Right.
That's
now
me.
Now he jumps rope like a boxer. He's got good balance, and he remembers things when he couldn't before. "We learn discipline," said one student in a local newspaper. "We have better manners. We look up to Jeff a lot. He tells us to treat adults with respect, so we do."
Aww.
"He tells us not to fight with our parents. He's my best friend." Jody added, "He's all of our best friend, and we don't get into trouble at school."
I don't like that. I don't like when kids are best friends with adults.
You shouldn't.
Never. Run, kids. Yeah. Run.
Yeah.
For a time, Gary Plochet, a popular salesman about town who coached Little League baseball, and Jody's dad, was among Jeff Doucette's biggest fans. After Gary moved out of the family home, Doucette began hanging out more at the house, lavishing attention on the family, especially his star pupil Jody.
Uh-oh.
June said at the time, quote, "The kids like being with Jeff. He's kind and considerate." She called him a good friend who provided emotional support.
Hmm.
Her friends say they can understand how she came to lean on the younger man, especially during this tense separation. She said she felt stifled in her marriage after abandoning a budding career as a nightclub singer.
Right.
That was a career that was probably going to go somewhere great.
Sure.
Sorry, June. Meanwhile, Doucette dreamed of launching his boys on the national karate circuit.
Again. Another thing that will definitely be a success.
Yes. A few parents wondered how he was able to devote so much time to karate and still earn enough money to survive at his day job of laying carpet.
That is a good question. Also, ever since you said the name Jody, I keep hearing Jody, 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 Jody.
I'm begging of you, please don't go with Jeff.
Go with Jeff.
So Doucette, a ninth grade dropout with big ideas, schemed to make money off of his herd of karate kids.
I want a herd of karate kids so bad.
I don't think you realize where this is going.
Yeah, I know it's going somewhere bad. I'm just thinking of like, what's the Karate Kid show? Cobra Kai?
Yeah.
Where it's like
what you could do with a herd of Karate Kids.
Warring karate troops. That's make rad, them your man.
Minions.
I want to live in a world. This is, I'm gonna lean in. This is all I wanted when I was a little boy. Sarah knows this. I had my karate suit on. All I wanted were for ninjas, attacking ninjas to be a real thing and to have warring karate fights with other gangs.
So
pisses me off that it never happened.
No, it was SoCal. I think that was the problem.
Okay, so Doucette is trying to make money off of these kids. He used them to promote the sale of Louisiana State University mugs and other merch to local football fans.
Okay.
But then when buyers started complaining about not receiving their merch in the mail, Doucette started dodging angry creditors and fraud charges.
Oh, bad boy.
He had a troubled, deeply troubled past.
That's what got him into the karate game, huh?
Yep. He later told police he was molested numerous times as a child, although his family would only confirm one incident. Eventually, he began molesting children himself, to the point that he couldn't remember the exact number of boys he victimized. He even faced a molestation charge at one point, although it was erased from the records. In March 1983, Jeff began touching Jody inappropriately, as well as sleeping with him during karate trips. Uh-oh. This escalated to rape, after which, according to Jody, he would sexually assault him almost every day, sometimes twice a day in the following months.
God, Lord.
Mike Barnett, who worked for the East Baton Rouge Sheriff's Department, would later say this about Doucette, quote, "He was a classic pedophile. They seek out the type of situation where they can be involved closely on a frequent basis with kids. But they are different from rapists who hate their victims in that they love their victims. Mm-hmm. Such offenders court their victims with gifts and or attention, slowly winning their trust and lowering their inhibitions. They exploit the authority deriving from their professions and status as adults and are very good at communicating with children as well as choosing victims who will be most susceptible."
Right. And that's almost always the case, isn't it? You ask them, they're like, but I love so-and-so.
Michael Jackson. Not only do they love the kid, they want the kid to love them.
And they think they do often. Like, yeah. This goes both
they
ways.
They often do, but it's not, it shouldn't be that kind of love. It shouldn't be.
No, and the little kid has zero, like, responsibility in this. You know what I mean?
Agency, yeah. Cut to February of 1984. Jeff's fraudulent activities caught up with him, and he was about to go on trial for passing bad checks. One store manager claimed that he cashed a $7,500 check made out to a supplier.
Uh-oh.
On Sunday, February 19th, Doucette picked up Jody at the Ploche home, telling June that they'd be back in 15 minutes. He wanted to show the boy some carpet he was laying on a job. You know how much little boys love carpet samples.
Yeah. Hey, come on over here, boy. I'm going to show you my new carpet.
You won't believe the berber.
You won't believe the berber on this here carpet.
Yeah. I've never seen a pile like that before.
Mm-hmm. Are you more of a shag boy?
Ew.
Ew.
Come downstairs. Get it, guys?
Okay. At the time, June had no reason to doubt him. "You want to go to California?" Doucette asked the boy. "Yes," said Jody. "Good," said Doucette. "I don't want people to think I'm taking you."
But you are.
Yep. Several hours after Doucette left with her son, Judy became alarmed. She phoned her brother, a deputy sheriff, and then Mike Barnett from the sheriff's office and a family friend of theirs, who drove to Port Arthur, Doucette's hometown, to go look for her son. June was familiar with the town. Sometimes she and Doucette would go dancing in Port Arthur and visit his mother. June expected them to return, but 4 days after they disappeared, she paged Gary on the racquetball court to say that Jody was gone.
Wait, who's Gary again?
The dad. So that this is a nuts to me that to imagine 4 days later, a beeper going off on the racquetball court. And it's like, hey, your son's been missing for 4 days, just so you know. Hey, whatever.
Ugh, right. Like, excuse me, guys. I have to take this.
Gary immediately sought a kidnapping warrant and the FBI was alerted.
Jesus. I guess I forgot that the mom was buddies with Doucette.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, he was using her.
Is that almost always the case with child molesters? That
it's
they like
often
they have some connection to the parents.
But it's like, I mean, as a parent, I'm sitting here thinking, if some guy that I was friends with came and took my young son out for the day because I trust him, but I can't get a hold of him, and he's gone for longer than expected. Already,
but who would that even,
be? Just going crazy, calling the police, all this stuff. One day, and everyone in my life would know and be on the lookout.
Right.
I mean,
right. But Sarah, who would that even be? Who do you trust enough to take, other than like me? Hey, I want to take Hayden out for the day when he was, you know, smaller. Who there's no one in your life that.
I mean, I don't want to say any names here on here because I don't want anybody to be like associated with that. But there were some people when our kids were younger that mostly they were my girlfriends. But I mean, some of Josh's friends I would have trusted. They never had any interest in our kids. And maybe that's why that kind of stuff never happened. It was,
yeah.
They definitely weren't coming over to hang out with our kids. So I think that also is something that should be a big red flag.
Yeah.
Is when you show more interest in the kids than you do the adults.
Mm-hmm.
God. And it must be so tough if that does happen to you as a parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you're one of those listening,
I'm not victim blaming the mom here, but
no,
also kind
of
like
right.
4 days. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
God, right. 4 days. Jeez.
But what she didn't know is that by that first evening, the two were already on a bus heading to Los Angeles.
Oh, boy.
On the way, Doucette shaved his beard and dyed Jody's blonde hair to black. He hoped to pass Jody off as his own son while also hiding from the law enforcement that he knew would be after them.
Right.
1 week after Jody vanished, June's phone rang. It was Doucette. He warned her not to tell anyone that he called and told her to come to him, to bring the other children and to bring their school transcripts.
What?
Meet me where they film Hill Street Blues if you want to see Jody again, he said.
What is that?
A show.
Sure.
June, playing along in a ruse concocted by the police, responded, well, Gary might use this to get custody of all the children if you don't bring Jody back. Doucette responded full of rage. If the court gives Gary the kids, I'll get them from him. I'm tired of people saying I'm insane, and if you say I am, you'll never hear from me again.
Oh my God.
Suddenly, June realized that family friend Jeff Doucette was fucking crazy.
Yeah, I'd say so.
June kept playing along. God. June kept playing along as the days went on, and police taped the calls.
Cool.
A phone tap traced them to the Samoa Motel in Anaheim, California, room 38, $20 a day, just blocks from Disneyland.
May I say, did you look up the hotel?
Oh, hell yeah, I did.
It's
adorable.
Adorable.
Really? Is it still there?
It's like, I don't know.
It is in a way. So,
it's got that like tiki vibe.
Yeah, it's Samoa, so it's supposed to be like South Pacific.
Oh. I mean, it wouldn't be $20 a day. Let's just be real.
Right. Oh, right, yeah.
The motel was eventually remodeled completely and is now America's Best Value Inn and Suites Anaheim Convention Center.
There you go.
Which, I mean, we've gone by a million times. It's basically across the street from the Starbucks on Catella. Like right at that intersection where we stayed almost.
Gotcha, right.
So it's right there. Bear that all the time. It's very cute, though. Everyone should look up the Samoa Motel in Anaheim, California. Or maybe I'll just post pictures of it. He took Jody to Disneyland, too.
Lucky kid. Just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
And that's
By the way, was this kid's first time to Disneyland?
Probably.
This?
Probably. He actually,
that sucks.
There's an interview with him on a podcast out there, and I meant to have time to listen to it before I did this to see if he mentioned it at all, because he has spoken about this.
As an adult, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine?
That's your association.
Right. Like, oh my God. You go back to the happiest place on earth, and you think of the worst thing that ever happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Disney tie-in. There it is. Blink and you'll miss it.
There it is.
A predator took a kid halfway across the country to Disneyland to hide from the cops and parents.
I mean, that just goes to show Disneyland's a great place, huh, guys? Even in the darkest of dark,
everyone
you
wants to go.
Go to Disneyland.
Yeah. I love how you said this is a true crime story that relates to Disneyland in the end. Literally, yes. In the end.
Yeah, like a sentence.
Well, on February 29th, 10 days after the abduction, FBI agents made the arrest.
Oh, yeah, there's more to the story.
Yeah, there's, the story is not done.
It doesn't just end at Disneyland.
It actually gets crazier.
I thought was happening.
No.
I did too.
No.
No, we still don't know how this thing ends.
I was going to ask, but I was like, I don't know. Am I supposed to just not care?
By the way, that shows you how, like, horse blinder
we're like, ooh, Disneyland.
We are on Disneyland.
Okay.
Well, and how trusting I am that Ash came up with this story and she ended it at a good place.
She's getting a good place. There's the episode, guys.
Well, let's recommend some content.
Yeah. Kids abducted, exactly. Sexually abused, and taken to Disneyland.
Okay, so FBI agents made the arrest. Apparently, Jody pleaded to stay with Doucette. It's such a confusing situation for abused people, especially little kids.
No, that's awful.
Jody flew home, and Doucette was indicted for aggravated kidnapping. He waived extradition and phoned a friend to say that he was only guilty of, quote, bad judgment. He says, I should have gone back rather than to use Jody to pressure June into joining me. Yeah,
wow.
That's where the mistake was made.
Yeah, that's it. Remind me, how old was Jody?
11.
Okay.
Outside the Orange County Jail, flanked by an FBI agent and two Baton Rouge deputies, Doucette told another story. According to Barnett, he said, quote, I want to tell you all about it, and confessed to the abuse in all of the gory details along with other children in Baton Rouge.
Oh, no.
And lab tests from Jody's physical exam confirmed the assault. It was up to Barnett, a 39-year-old father of two and friend of the family, to break the news to the Plochets. Gary, quote, had the same reaction most parents do when they find out that their children have been raped or molested. He was horrified. Gary Plochet told Barnett, I'll kill that SOB. It was the first time friends had ever seen Plochet without a smile.
God damn it. Sarah, as a parent, what's the first, I mean, that's the first reaction, right? Mm-hmm. You want to kill them? You want them to, you want
suffer,
them to suffer
unimaginable pain that lasts a long time. Yeah.
But
and then,
you,
ultimately.
You don't do that because you don't want to go to
die.
Prison.
Yeah. No, exactly. It's like that joke saying, like, I'm not afraid to go back to prison. You know? Like,
yeah.
That's your threat to someone.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So, though his son had been found, Gary remained on edge. He spent the next few days inside a local bar, the Cotton Club, asking people what they thought Doucette might be, asking when people thought Doucette might be brought back to Baton Rouge for trial.
The dad, Gary?
Yes.
He's asking people around town when they think he might be coming? Huh.
Mm-hmm. Just snooping around.
Okay.
On March 16th, he sat at the bar three seats away from a WBRZ news executive and overheard Doucette's name being brought up in conversation. I think he's coming in tonight, said the executive.
Uh-oh.
The executive phoned the station, confirmed the arrival, and announced to the bartender, yeah, he's coming in at 9:08. And Gary was off to the Baton Rouge airport.
No.
Where he drank, he drank a cup of coffee in the restaurant. Then he moved to the bar and he had a beer. He paced the lobby. He checked flight times. From the payphone, he called a friend who, understandably concerned, tried to warn the police, but it was too late. Gary Plochet was waiting for Doucette armed with a .38 caliber revolver.
No way.
He entered the arrivals hall wearing a baseball cap and a pair of glasses. Sunglasses.
Oswald.
His like face hidden, just like it. His face hidden, he walked over to a payphone. As he made a quick call, a news crew got their cameras ready to record the caravan of cops that were escorting Jeff Doucette out of his plane.
Oh my God.
And when they passed by, Gary Plochet pulled a gun from his boot and shot Jeff Doucette in the head.
Oh my God.
The entire incident was caught on camera by the WBRZ crew.
I think I've seen this.
I'm sure you have. On YouTube, millions of people, including myself, have watched Doucette collapse and how Barnett quickly tackled Pluché to the wall. "Son of a bitch, why, Gary? Why'd you do it?" the officer shouted at his friend as he disarmed him.
I have seen this.
And Gary Pluché answered in tears, "If somebody did it to your kid, you'd do it too." Mm. Doucette died the next day, and Pluché was charged with second-degree murder.
See, that's the problem. It's like, I get the revenge, and I'm not even saying... If someone harmed any of my nieces and nephews, I'd be inclined to do that. If someone hurt you, Sarah, or... I can't even imagine Ashley. I would go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that is that then now everyone loses. So like now the whole family, they have a family member, a kid that was molested, raped, kidnapped. You know, what an awful thing to go through. And now a loved one is going to go to prison forever. That's just awful.
It's tough though, because I mean, I imagine myself thinking like, am I ever going to have a moment of peace?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing but that this person still breathes.
But what would be better, that feeling or having that happen to your child and then also having Josh go to prison forever?
Oh, absolutely.
That would
suck. I'm not even picturing Josh doing it. I'm picturing me doing it.
Right.
But, yeah. No, there's no right answer. I mean, there's an obvious right answer. Don't kill anyone. But like...
Right. It's understandable.
Yeah, it's understandable. Totally understandable. I mean, I applauded when I heard he shot him. I wish he hadn't died. Because then it would have been something else and maybe not life in prison.
He just lost a foot or something.
Yeah, like just really maim him. Shoot him in the knees. Shoot him in the crotch.
Shoot him in the nutsack.
Yeah, shoot that shit right off and then he at least can't still do all kinds of other things, disgusting, horrible things. But
you know how like, never mind. I was going to say something really disgusting. I'm not going to say it. No, I'm going
to
say it. I almost
used the word diddle. And I was like, Okay, tell us.
Okay, I was going to say, you know how like in movies you see like a guy put a gun to someone's head? You know, like a mobster and like, poof, and they shoot him in the head. Imagine a pair of balls just hanging.
Uh-huh. Right?
Just a dude's nuts hanging. And then the gun right up against the nuts. And he just... pull the trigger and blows the fucking nuts off.
Cinematic.
Yeah. Slow-mo.
Yeah, I was imagining like the Mythbusters close-up slow-mo cam. Okay. Okay. "He won't do one day in jail, not when all the details come out," said his lawyer, who brandished a copy of The Gay Advocate, the homosexual magazine that Doucette allegedly gave the 12-year-old boy.
What?
It gets real... It gets real homophobic.
Oh, boy.
Ugh.
God. So bad.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Ah. This was what, the 80s?
Yeah, 84. Okay. The year of my birth. Instead, Gary became a folk hero of sorts.
Right.
"If the man was a homo, he got what he deserved," said Linda Boyd, 25, mother of two boys, and a bartender at the airport lounge who was there to hear the assault. "I'd have shot him, too, if he'd done what they say he'd done to my boys. Only I'd have gut-shot him 3 or 4 times, and he'd have suffered before he died. I want my sons to grow up to be men. Something like that could ruin them. Pluché shouldn't do any time."
Oh, my God. Linda,
you missed the whole point.
Hey, you
yes, she
suck.
Sure did.
Linda Boyd sucks. And by the way, this is the time, I mean, there's still people that think this way now, but especially back then, that you would tie in pedophilia with homosexuality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Somehow they made that leap, which is so crazy.
So you're straight if you're a man that molests a little girl.
Right. Right. Like, what? How does that work?
Right. "Damn right," echoed Murray Curry, 47, a crusty riverboat captain.
Murray Curry.
"Drinking a triple Jim Beam between flights and sitting on an escalator away from the blood-stained carpeting."
You can't like get a triple anything anymore.
No, not these days.
I like that that's what Sarah focused on.
Yeah.
Was
the lack of accessibility to triple drinks.
I mean, you can get a double. You can get a heavy pour double. But I don't think... Is there a place you can order a triple? Please, listeners, let me know.
Maybe the Baton Rouge airport.
Yeah, dive bars will do it. But you just don't say triple. You just say, hey.
Keep them coming.
Yeah.
I want 4 fingers of...
Give me a drink.
I want 2 fists of...
Yeah. Tip really well.
Murray Curry, the riverboat, the crusty riverboat captain, continues. He's no killer. He's a father who done it out of love for his child and for his pride. He got justice. Saved the taxpayers money by blowing Doucette away. Some jury would have turned him loose.
No.
Can't trust the juries. They're going to turn him loose.
Oh, God.
Well, the thing is, he's not completely wrong. Guy would have gotten out of jail.
At some point.
He wouldn't have spent his whole life there.
He would have been a drain on the system. Yeah, a drain on the taxpayers. I get it. But as a society, we
I don't care about the money. I just, you know, that man would have walked free someday.
But part of the reason we have a justice system generally is because society has the right to have justice for what was done. Mm-hmm. It's not just about the victim's parents.
Yes.
And it's hard to see past that, but it is true. If a murder was committed in your community, we as a society are owed that. You're supposed to watch that person go to prison and serve time.
And to make sure that they're the actual person.
That as well. That first.
His defense lawyer, Foxy Sanders, by the way, his name is
Foxy Sanders. Cool,
dude. We got Murray Curry and Foxy Sanders here.
I just picture Foxy Sanders, mullet, plays bass in a bitchin' rock band.
I was imagining like a younger Bernie Sanders that was like sexy lady.
Oh, okay. I like that. Fighting the good fight.
Yeah. Foxy Sanders calls the shooting justifiable homicide and cites a psychiatrist's report describing Gary's deep depression. Quote, Gary thought he had a divine mandate to do what he thought had to be done to protect his family. He had a mirror image of right and wrong. He thought what he was doing was right. Whether to indict Gary Plache will be one of the most difficult things a grand jury will ever have to be asked to decide, said the assistant parish prosecutor. The dilemma is this. If we say what he did isn't wrong, do we open the door for the husband of a rape victim or the mother of a murdered child to do the same thing? Do we declare open season on child molesters, then rapists, then burglars? If the grand jury says, Gary, what you did is forgivable, what do we do about the next victim's revenge? Where do you draw the line? According to Gary's lawyer, quote, if he hadn't done what he did, he'd never have had a peaceful night's sleep for the rest of his life. Gary was sobbing to me in jail. I don't want him to do it to other kids. He was hearing a voice, not like the voice you'd hear in some horror movie. He felt it was Christ. He felt mandated.
Now, my only question, though, is if this happened in L.A. County in the 80s or Portland, Oregon, I think it would be handled a little differently. This is in Baton Rouge. You know, like they're going to, of course, he's had a right to kill him, that homo. Like, it's just a little different. To be fair, like it is the South. It's the 80s in the South.
But I'm still on their side. So,
yeah, no, again, I mean, I'm
going to get so much hate for my strong opinion on killing this man, but I just feel like nobody misses him, you know?
No, I think most people will support your opinion. That's the point, though. That's the point.
I support the emotion.
If you ask me,
not the actual action.
Yeah.
If you ask me, do I support the death penalty? I do not. However, if you turn around and go, you're telling me that if someone raped and killed Ashley, you wouldn't want to kill them? I would find them and I would kill them. And I would go to prison for the rest of my life.
Totally.
That's different than saying that society has a right to kill people. That's the point.
Right.
And like, I understand why this guy did it, but we just can't allow it. You can't allow murder and you can't encourage society to do that.
The judge felt certain that Gary didn't intend to harm anyone else except the already dead Jeff Doucette. So Gary pleaded no contest to a lesser manslaughter charge. Mm. He was given a 7-year suspended sentence along with 5 years on probation and 300 hours of community service. Before he had completed both, Plache was already back to living a relatively normal life under the radar.
Okay.
This lenient treatment Gary received divided public opinion and
So he did go to prison for 7 years? Is that
a 7-year suspended sentence?
What does that mean?
So like they could enforce it if they wanted to, but if he's playing along, he's free.
Wow. Wow. So he didn't serve time.
Yeah.
Wow. But it just did the probation, the community service, all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Treatment was criticized, among others, by Doucette's family. They began fighting back, arguing their boy Jeff was a victim of smear tactics.
Oh boy.
They cited Gary Plachet's friendship with police. They claim June and Jeff's relationship went beyond friendship, insisting that June planned to join Jeff in California, and that the killing was provoked by jealous outrage rather than any alleged kidnapping.
Oh, geez.
June's friends fired back, absolutely not. There's no way she could have faked the agony. She lost 8 pounds that week. She was a walking zombie. She never realized that guy Doucette didn't know truth from a lie until he took Jody. Mm-hmm. Jeff's brother Haywood said, quote, "They've tried, convicted, and murdered my brother in the press." A neighbor of the Doucettes named Nippy Melancon.
All right, I quit. That's it, guys. End of the podcast. Been a good run. Bye. Bye.
He's actually leaving.
He's leaving.
He's coming back. He's coming back.
His name's Nippy.
Just yelling Nippy from the other room now.
Is that on his goddamn social security card? Nippy? Hey, have you ever met a Nippy in your life?
Not yet.
Be more pissed. That's an absurd name. And everyone just goes along with this shit. You read it, and you're fine with it.
James doesn't think we should have an angry mob about a child predator, but we should have an angry mob about the name Nippy. Right.
These are the things that matter.
Mob justice.
Me and Foxy Sanders will have a platform about bad names.
Okay, so Nippy Melancon, a neighbor of the Doucettes, agreed and called the charges against Jeff a bunch of bullshit. And Jeff had taken Nippy's children out for burgers, so he says, quote, "You think if I'd had any doubts, I would have let my kids go off with him? He dated a girl at the trailer park. If Jeff was gay or funny, he wouldn't have been going out with no women."
Oh, my God.
Winks Watley added, "He was a ladies man." You didn't even hear me say what Winks said.
Is this a Southern thing?
I don't know.
Nippy and Winks.
So what did Winks say?
He said he was a ladies' man.
Well,
can't have diddled the boy if he was a ladies' man.
I think he's an elf. I think they're all elves.
Nippy and Winks.
Winks Watley. He's digging for diamonds because he's a goddamn elf.
You're thinking of dwarf?
Oh, sure. Also, that's incredibly rude. That's so fucked up.
Okay, so Gary lived a relatively normal life. He suffered a stroke in 2011 and eventually died in 2014 in his late 60s. Mm. His obituary describes him as a man who saw beauty in everything. He was a loyal friend to all, always made others laugh, and a hero to many. Jody Plachet was able to recover relatively well from the trauma. He wrote a book about his experience titled Why, Gary, Why? And is currently an abuse victims advocate. Jody also enjoys cooking and frequently shares his hobby with people online. But reminders of his past always have a way of bubbling up. He says, quote, "I'll post a cooking video on YouTube and someone will comment, 'Your dad's a hero.'" Hmm. They won't comment, "That gumbo looks great." They'll just be like, "Your dad's a hero."
Right.
And as for Jeff's legacy, well, you can buy a photo shooting target of him at torrestargets.com. Wow. They cost $1.50 each. On the product listing, his name is spelled incorrectly, uh-huh. And there's a bio of his abduction and murder for context on why you might want to buy this target for practicing your aim.
Hell yeah.
Below his bio, the website reads, "Are these targets legal? As citizens of the United States of America, our First Amendment rights allow us to shoot, stab, cigar poke, or destroy any picture of any person or political figure as long as there is no credible threat to their lives. This target is printed in full color on bond paper and proudly designed and made in the USA."
No shit.
Dun, 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 dun. Fuck yeah, man.
See, that's where I draw the line.
Yeah. That's it.
Kill the real guy. Don't shoot at pictures of him.
Shoot a picture? That's just rude.
Well, that's the story. My sources were criminalmindsfandom.com, Washington Post, All That's Interesting, and torrestargets.com.
So Jody's book was called Why, Gary, Why?
Which is what Mike Barnett wailed when Gary shot Jeff.
Okay. I get it.
I'm kind of interested to read that book.
I know.
If from the perspective of the kid who lived through it and came out on the other side. Like,
absolutely.
What does he think about his dad now? And
God,
I don't know.
What a crazy story.
There was more about that I could have added, but this was already a 6-page outline. So,
well, thanks for putting that together as always, Nash.
No kidding.
That was really, really, really fun.
I love that Disneyland just popped up in the middle of that and then just as quick as it came, it's gone.
But you know what? That's how it is sometimes.
Sometimes you just blaze right through.
Sometimes you're at the park and before you know it, you're back to work.
I'm at the Tiki Hotel. Oh God, I'm at the park and now that I'm back into my normal life.
That's it.
That's how my life has been lately.
Yeah. Right.
That's true. And my life gets to be like that in May.
Oh yeah, that's a big announcement.
Michelle and Kate and I booked tickets. We're coming down. Coming to see y'all.
Hell yeah.
Hey, we had a really good time at the park on Monday of this week. So if you're listening, that will be exactly a week ago for you. With our friend Jen, that's from Portland. She came down here. We did a whole day with her, like old school style, Sarah. Like 30,000 steps in a day vibe. And it was great. And I gotta say, Jen.
She's a good park hang.
She was a great park hang. She held up, dude.
She got silly as
silly.
Fuck.
Yes. Silly goose time. She got a dumb Pluto hat. Mm-hmm. Ashley had her Donald Duck hat.
She had a Pluto hat and she had Spider Gwen ears on top of the Pluto hat. So Pluto was wearing the ears.
Yeah. And a silly Disney purse.
Yeah, purse. Lots of clothing.
T-shirts. Yeah. She went all out. She had so much fun, though.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, and she likes to go fast.
I'm not surprised to hear that she was a good Disney hang. I don't know her very well, and she's really quiet and calm and reserved, but I could see her just kind of diving all in.
She just goes along with it. She's just silly.
I was only concerned that she's never going to listen to this, so she's not going to hear this. She's one of the laziest people I've ever known, and she loves lazy time. Like, she loves loungy lazy time.
Yeah, like the next day, she just had a resort day.
Is she
going
to
want to
do any of this? Yeah, right. Next day she booked a massage and a pedicure at the Grand Californian, and she just did that all day.
I know, that sounds nice.
Good for her.
But
yeah, I was worried about that too. She did not. She was fine.
Yeah,
totally fine.
Yeah,
you have to mentally prepare for it.
Yep.
It's not it's not a physical preparation. It is knowing you're going to be in agony by about 7 p.m. and that you're remain in agony until a couple days later.
Yep. Oh, it's not a vacation in that
way.
No, it's like, it's a thing we do.
Right.
It's something you do. It's not lay around. It's not, oh, help your trip was refreshing and you're, no, it's like, I need a vacation from that trip.
Yeah.
It's so hardcore.
I booked a hotel just down the street from the park.
Okay.
And it says it's a 2-minute Uber. And I was like, yeah. Okay, 2-minute Uber. How far is it to walk? So I looked. It says 17 minutes. I told Michelle. She said, for those average walkers, I said, we can do it in 7.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
We're just hauling ass down ball.
Well, it's easy for Michelle to say. She has a 10-foot walking
wingspan.
Yes. I know. For every stride she takes, I take 1.5.
Now, Michelle's like tall, elegant, beautiful person. And then there's us, the Hobbit people that just trail behind her. You go, Michelle. Hold up. We're coming.
She's one of the most beautiful people in the world and has no idea.
Yeah. Elegant, long, blonde hair.
That time at Walt Disney World when that one guy was like, no, that is a tall, beautiful blonde or something.
Audibly said.
No, that's a gorgeous blonde. And she had no idea.
So funny. So when are we going to the next ride?
Yeah.
She texted me, I am already planning all the things we're going to eat and drink. Yes. And I could hear it in her voice. I can hear the voice she's saying when she's saying it.
Yes.
We're gonna eat and we're going to drink.
Yeah, I'm stoked, man. It's going to be fun. And then Ash and I are going... early May, for just like a half a day with Scott from Flying House.
Right. Yeah. We'll be going with a celebrity.
Yeah, dude.
Shoot.
Social media celebrity. All right. Let's recommend a few things and let these people go.
Heck yeah. Okay. I will start off because it's fresh in my mind. Before Josh left for work yesterday, he said, I have one task for you should you choose to accept it. Mm-hmm. You need to find a new show for us because we just have blown through everything we were watching. And we're also watching Shogun right now, which is good, but it's not my recommendation. It's still on, so I don't know how it ends, and I don't know. It could go either way.
Okay.
But this is a series from 2014 called Detectorus.
It sounds like you're almost saying a word, but not.
Yeah, exactly. Detectorists.
Okay.
So, like, Andy and Lance are friends who share a passion for metal detecting.
Oh.
Fun.
It is so cute and funny. It's these two guys. So one of them, they're both familiar. I can't remember what the other one's from, but the one guy's one of the pirates, the one with the weird eye from Pirates of the Caribbean.
He's also in The Office, the British version.
Yes. I don't like jelly. I don't trust the way it moves.
Yes.
Mackenzie Crook. But yeah, they are just like these super simple dudes that live in England somewhere. I don't even know. And, you know, they've got families and stuff, but it's all about the metal detecting. And they are part of this ridiculous little community club. There's like 8 members and they get together and show off their finds. And it's like bottle caps and buttons and ring pulls from cans. And like, it's great. It's so cute. But of course, they have this grand idea that they're going to find treasure and gold and all kinds of stuff. And we've only made it through like maybe the first 4 or 5 episodes, and they're really short episodes. And I think it's on Tubi or Roku. It's like those free apps that you have to watch ads, but there's not that many.
But it's free. Oh, yeah. Did you say Toby Jones is in it?
That guy? Toby Jones. He's
the most British looking guy ever.
Yeah, he's very British. He played Truman Capote in one of those
movies. That's right. Him. Right.
Right. Cool. Awesome. I really like I was going to say I really like British shows. That's not true because some British shows are just simply too British for me. And they're, for some reason, they also look. They also look like they were filmed in the 70s for some goddamn reason.
This one doesn't.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is when they're good, they're actually some of my favorite things ever made. Mm-hmm. They have a sense of humor and a sense of timing that is just great.
Totally.
You know, like a real like deep sense of sarcasm that I think the average American just doesn't possess. And I really appreciate it.
There's a whole running thing through this show where there's these two dudes that are part of like a rival metal detecting gang, and they keep like, popping up everywhere, and they refer to them as Simon and Garfunkel. They look like Simon and Garfunkel. That's how it starts out. And then it's like just subtle little clues to Simon and Garfunkel songs. They realize one of them is actually named Paul, and there's like little, he's actually named Paul, you know. Nice. It's just it's so funny. It's so funny.
Nice. That sounds great. And that sounds like a nice, light, fun watch. Which
very much.
It all can't be.
We were going for.
Right. It all can't just be serious crap all the time. I'll go next because I'm special. Okay. No, that's just usually the order we do. I'm going to recommend a few things, but it's in one category. Okay. And the category is movies that you grew up with. Movies that you wonder yourself, you go, hey, self, do these movies still hold up? Or is that just me as an 8-year-old?
I know where we're going with this.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you? I don't know if you do. I'm gonna throw out 3 movies as of recently that I've watched with Ashley. Misery, 1990 Misery.
Fantastic.
Incredible movie. My God. You got James Caan. You got Kathy Bates. It's so good. Stephen King story. James Caan plays Paul Sheldon, an author who gets in an accident up on the mountain. And then she finds him and is bringing him back to health and reviving him and having him stay in the Snowden cabin. But she's his number one fan.
I'm your number one fan.
Yeah, it's wild. That is such a good movie and it definitely holds up.
You can just see Stephen King just like writing himself into a book. Like, this is my number one fear is for this psycho bitch to just like
Yeah.
Keep me in a bed.
Do you remember that movie, Sarah?
Oh, yeah.
It's great movie.
I have seen it fairly recently. And yeah, it's so good. And that one really definitely holds up.
She won an Oscar for that movie.
I'm so glad. I was like, she had to have. And then we looked it up. And of course she did.
It's so good. It's so well done. And the part where she hobbles his feet. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Horrifying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a crazy movie because it's like a... Not even really a horror movie, just a thriller, I guess. Just disturbing all around. Okay, so that's the first one. Second one is Falling Down.
Oh, God.
1993 Falling Down with Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas is the main guy. Robert Duvall plays the main cop. Robert Duvall is a police officer that is retiring that day with the LAPD. It's literally his last day. And Michael Douglas... I love this movie for so many reasons. A, he's the main character and he's very unlikable. He's a terrible person. Mm-hmm. There's no redeeming qualities about him. He's mentally unstable.
From the first scene.
Yeah, very abusive. From the first scene, he's just having a horrible day.
But you can tell that he's made his day horrible because he's a miserable little bitch.
Yeah, everyone else, the millions of people in LA that also are stuck in traffic, also are getting screwed by the government, also have a shitty job, also got a divorce, all the things that people go through, they're somehow coping, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he makes it all about him. But it's masterfully done. It's highly recommend that movie. Really good. The third one is very not serious. 1995's Friday.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yep. The whatever the plot is, it's Friday, and Craig and Smokey must come up with $200 they owe a local bully, or there won't be a Saturday.
That's the one by Felicia came from, right?
That's right. Bye, Felicia.
I'm going to argue that it doesn't hold up, but that's just me. I agree.
Here's the thing. You're not wrong. But you're also wrong. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Because I appreciate what the part that doesn't hold up for me is that there was like, I remembered it being more of a like studio movie, you know? It's not. It's very much like an indie, just half-assed put together movie where you can tell a lot of it's improvised. It's not really well thought out. It's just two dickheads sitting on a porch all day. From morning to night, they sit on a porch. They don't go past like half a block.
Yep.
They just sit and watch whatever drama goes down on their street. And it's fucking hilarious. Weed. It's weed. And it's also just like very LA 90s rap Compton culture. You know,
there's a lot of nostalgia in that movie for sure.
Yeah. I thought it was really great. And I think they handled the topic of the hood really well. Because if you remember Ice Cube, who's in it, he was in Boys in the Hood in like 1990 or whatever it was. And that was a very serious movie about the same area, South Central Los Angeles, and how dangerous it is and, you know, fucked up and how ignored that community is. And then to like a few years later be in a funny movie covering the same type of topic, I always thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very funny, but yeah, it doesn't hold up in production, I would say. Holds up in fun.
All right. The animal heroes of the week are once again the duck couple that frequents our complex pool. And it's because this time I saw them at the hot tub and I thought, get it. They were living life and I am so proud of them.
Have you named them?
I did. I don't remember what they were.
Yeah, you did come up with a name.
I'm taking suggestions.
Foxy and
Sanders.
Foxy and Sanders.
What was the other one that James really hated?
Nippy.
Oh, yeah.
I think Nippy's going to be the male duck.
What was the other? It was Nippy and
Winky.
Winky.
Yeah.
Or Winks. Sorry, Winks.
Winks.
Winks and Nippy. She's Winks, he's Nippy.
Perfect.
Better be nicknames. If someone's name is Winks, I just don't know.
Did I just make you hate these ducks?
I just don't think I can live in a world where someone was actually named Winks. Seriously.
Yeah.
Bye. It happened.
I thought you were saying bye to the people.
He just like backs out of the frame and never comes back.
That's what I feel like doing when I hear names like that. All right, I think we did it. We entertained the masses.
We really did.
Okay, Sarah, sign us off.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Disney Dependent. See you real soon.
You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Disney Dependent.
And you can send us an email at DisneyDependent@gmail.com.
This podcast is produced by Producer Ash.
The logo is by Ryan Hatch, and you can find him at WR Hatch on Instagram. The music is by Ryan Knowles, and you can find him at Ryan Allen Knowles on Instagram.
This show is mixed and edited by Deanna Chapman. You can find Deanna at Deanna_Chapman. And this has been a Team Dynamite Goat production. All right. Well, thank you for listening to the show, and we'll be back here next week.